Kings taking on the Hudson Havoc tomorrow at the Southwold County Rec Center at 7 o'clock. The puck will drop. Be there. And if you can't, be sure to take in the game on our sister station, Wiz Country 105.5. We'll have that for you at 7 o'clock on WIRI Wiz Country. Be sure to check that out and support the Kings as they build hockey up and down the river. We'll have more Morning Magazine for you next week right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Steve Kathan. A slick video signals a party shift.
It's a reflection of the folks that I talk to at the grocery store, hear from at the park. It's who we are as a people.
Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema explaining why she's leaving the Democratic Party, switching her registration to independent. She writes in a column that the partisan system in Washington is broken. CBS's Scott McFarland says Sinema has indicated she won't caucus with either party and could be a swing vote.
This underscores how fragile this majority remains, a walk along eggshells for the next 2 years for Democrats in the Senate. Any number of congressional sources with whom we're speaking today say they don't expect this to impact the Democrats' hold on the majority. They still will have the numbers.
Basketball star Brittany Griner, released by the Russians, is now in San Antonio for medical and other tests. WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert tells CBS Morning she's not sure when or if Griner will want to get back on the courts.
We'll give her time and space, and we'll be there for her. Whatever she needs from a mental perspective, mental, emotional, and physical, are things that, you know, that recovery is going to take a while. I am sure.
The U.S. says the effort to free Paul Whelan from Russian captivity goes on. His sister Elizabeth on CBS Mornings.
I do have hope. The folks right now who have been working to first get, Trevor and Paul back, and then trying to get Brittany and Paul back, they are going to all lengths to try to make that happen.
Russia's Vladimir Putin said today more prisoner exchanges with the U.S. are possible if compromises can be reached. For the youngest of the young, getting a vaccine can bring on the tears. Now, government regulators have cleared the way for doses of the updated COVID-19 vaccines for those under age 5.
We expanded authorization for the bivalent vaccines to include a booster vaccine for the Moderna vaccine for the youngest children ages 6 months to 5 years old.
The FDA's Dr. Peter Marks, CDC approval expected soon. It's estimated only about 5% of kids in that age group have gotten the full primary series since vaccinations for them began back in June. Last night on the job for Trevor Noah as host of Comedy Central's The Daily Show last night.
Every seat that has ever been filled to watch something that I'm doing, I always appreciate because I know the empty seat that sits behind it. So thank you.
Guest hosts will take over next week. Right now on Wall Street, the Dow is up 6 points. The S&P is up 7. This is CBS News.
If you're a business owner renting or leasing, you can save a ton of money and own a custom-designed building made by General Steel. Just call 888-74-STEEL and get a quote today.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE. 866-88-BIBLE.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us.
We go through safety training and try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, December 12th. In Wood County, the Public Safety Committee will meet at 9 a.m. in the courthouse. The Joint Legislative Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the Central Wisconsin Airport in Mosinee. The Citizens Groundwater Group will meet at 2 p.m. at the River Block Building, and the North Central Community Action Program Incorporated Executive Board of Directors will meet at 6 p.m. by teleconference. The Stevens Point Joint Review Board will meet at 3 p.m. in the City Conference Room. The Transportation Commission meeting will take place at 4:45 at Central Transportation. The Portage County Personnel Committee will meet at 6 p.m. The Public Policy and General Government meeting will happen at 6 p.m., followed by the Finance Committee Agenda meeting at 6:10 and the Board of Public Works meeting at 6:35 p.m. In Adams County, the Property and Recreation Committee will meet from 2 to 4 p.m., and the Health and Human Services meeting will take place from 4 to 5:30 p.m. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with a chance for snow. Daytime highs approaching 33. East winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 28. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Snow likely. Daytime highs approaching 34. About an inch of snow today through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 30.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
That, James.
Okay.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
I hope you have four-wheel drive on your car, because this morning was a reminder that I should probably get new tires.
Uh-oh.
But I'm here, and I'm safe, and I drove very slowly, Mom, and I am fine, and that we will hope that by the time this show ends, more of the streets of Waukesha have been plowed, because it was a little precarious getting to the studio this morning. How'd you fare, Jane Medner?
It was not snowing when I left, because I get in a little bit earlier than you do. But when it started about 8:30, quarter to nine, it was really coming down.
Those snowflakes look a little bit. For a time there, the snowflakes felt like they were as big as my hand.
Yeah,
they were massive.
Slapping you.
And so, but we're here. We're here safely. It's Friday. I saw an incredible show last night I'm going to talk about
later.
Did you? Yes.
Oh, it was date night. That's right.
It was date night. And so we're going to talk about that today. But Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh, Amory, Richland Center, obviously Waukesha, everyone streaming, everyone listening to the podcast later. Happy Friday. Jane Matinair, happy Friday. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic. As much of a pain as the snow is.
It's pretty.
It is pretty. And I'm anxious to see how my Christmas lights are going to look tonight.
Oh, yeah. I agree. It is looking out into our Wisconsin Avenue window, out through, I should say. It is very pretty out.
It is.
And this is the month where snow is fun. But check back in February. We're all ready for it to be over.
Everyone will be sick of it.
So we have a very good show today. I'm super excited. At 11:30, so in a half hour, Jim Santel is going to be here. Former prosecutor, former civil litigator, and also host of Morning Cannolis on the Civic Media Network on Saturdays. So he's going to break down. You've probably heard something about this Harper v. Moore Supreme Court case that had a hearing this week, and how it's the end of our democracy. He's going to explain if that's actually the case and kind of talk through what happened during the hearing.
It's important.
It's super important. It's boring as far as if you don't speak legalese, you're like, what? But it is very important. And it sounds like it's not as how the hearings went are not as devastating.
Not as dire.
Yes. So he will break that down for us. Then at 12, we're going to do more headlines of the day. And then at 12:30, Matthew Rothschild, also friend of Civic Media, who's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, is going to be here because I'm super interested as far as how did the nonpartisan Wisconsin Supreme Court get so partisan? Was it always like this? Was there an influx of money from certain groups at one point that changed the tide of how we elect our Wisconsin Supreme Court justices? So he's going to be here to talk more about how the history of that. And then speaking of history, at 1 o'clock, Russ Sari and Eric Sturgeon from the podcast Wisconsin Drunken History are going to be in studio. And they have a super fun podcast. They have over 100 episodes that they've done that is exactly what it sounds like. It's two good friends drinking, talking about Wisconsin history and fun stories. I think their most recent one, if you want to check it out, is the history of frozen custard in Wisconsin.
Fantastic.
And so they're going to be here for the last hour, and we'll see if they actually bring something for us to imbibe on.
Oh.
That would be on brand if they did that.
But
we will see. I can't do too much because the snow is still there. Do not drink and drive. As always, you can join the conversation 844-967-2789. We love hearing from you. We love getting texts. We love getting calls. And maybe some of you will have opinions and thoughts on this first story of the day. So on Wednesday of this week, Greg Bach, hump day, Wednesday, Greg predicted, because this was the day after Raphael Warnock had won in Georgia, and his prediction was that Joe Manchin was going to switch to being a Republican. That was on his bingo card.
Right.
But for those who are regularly check the news in the morning, I've been trying to not sleep with my phone next to me so I don't check the news and social media first thing in the morning. I'm like 50-50 since I've set that goal for myself. And this morning was one of the nights that I did fall asleep with the phone next to me and woke up, checked my phone, checked notifications. And actually, not Joe Manchin, but Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema has announced she's leaving the Democratic Party.
Gee, shocker.
And one of my more risque jokes, you know, we already knew that she swung both ways. So.
Ooh. Nice.
That is a joke because she's also an openly bisexual woman. But she is becoming an independent. She's not joining the Republican Party, but she has announced because, I don't know, she needs attention.
She wants money.
Yeah, I think that's what it has to come down to, right? Because she basically, her announcement, she gave an interview, she wrote an op-ed piece for the Arizona Republic, and she said, "I've joined the growing number of Arizonans who reject party politics by declaring my independence from the broken partisan system in Washington." But then she also maintained that she doesn't really plan on changing her voting habits because she was already, along with Joe Manchin, someone who usually took convincing to get on board with the Democratic agenda. But she often aligns with them. But, you know, it seems like this could potentially be, I guess, why now? You know, I think it's like, would she have done this had Raphael Warnock not won? Is this specifically to highlight even more that she is an independent thinker, despite the fact that she was already considered, you know, one of the on the fence Democrats? Is it just because she needs attention?
I don't know that it's about attention. I think her chances of getting real, she would probably have gotten primaried.
I think she's definitely, I think she was always going to get primaried.
Right.
Go ahead.
And nobody likes her.
Yeah, so that was the thing. Democrats don't like her. She's not electable as a Republican. And so I don't know if this is her way of getting out of having to be primaried by not running as a Democrat in 2024. But it sounds like the more you actually look into her, her base is not independents or Democrats of Arizona, it's big pharma and private equity.
Yeah, basically.
And that it's you know, get paid while you can, potentially, before you get voted out in 2 years. And I don't know. It just feels like, at least it's a good talk. It was a good topic to start the day with. But it's like, does this really change anything? I don't think so.
Well, what I find interesting, Open Secrets from 2018 said her estimated net worth was $32,000.
Now, what?
Yes. OpenSecrets.com. This is from 2018. Her net worth was $32.5 million. Now her net worth is $11 million. So it's been a lucrative career path for her.
I mean, it always is, right? Like the trajectory of almost everyone who's in Congress is how much more wealth they have by the time. What was Ron Johnson's quote? Like he could have made twice on the back because he didn't make as much money in Congress as other people have.
He could have made twice as much.
How do they? This is where I don't. How do they do it? Like, what is the pipeline of their net worth? I mean, $32,000 to $11 million. How does that even happen?
Well, you give five really, really well paid speeches to Big Pharma and to whoever you're beholden to.
So that's what is it? It's like appearances?
I'm guessing. I don't know.
Ultimately, your actual campaign money, and maybe this is a question that if we pivot with Matthew Rothschild, because that's what Wisconsin Democracy Campaign looks at, largely mostly in Wisconsin, but it follows the money. And understanding more of, it's one thing of how much money we constantly talk about is in the campaigns, but ultimately that's money that's in the campaigns that then gets spent on advertising, so right. It ends up in the pockets of media companies, whether that's the radio, TV, print, YouTube, etc. But as far as like, what is the loopholes that it's legal for so many of these senators and congresspeople to get rich? I mean, we obviously know, we talk about Nancy Pelosi and how much money she's made from the stock market, because we have people voting on laws and that affects the market. And maybe you become a lot better at predicting where the market's going to go when you're actually knowing what laws are getting decided on.
That seems like that would be handy information.
Kyrsten Sinema setting herself up for something. I mean, she clearly is setting herself up that if and when she does not get reelected, whether as a Democrat or an independent, I mean, it certainly now feels pretty nail in the coffin. She will not be running as a Democrat in 2 years. Is she just setting herself up to be a lobbyist?
Hey, why not? I mean, again, if this is accurate, that she went from $32.5 million net worth in 2018 to $11 million in 2022, another two more years, she can double that. She can beat Ron Johnson and walk away with $22 million in the bank.
Gosh, it is. Twitter's a fire, that's for sure. As far as this feels like such a confusing mood, but I also ultimately don't know if it really makes a difference in voting. Maybe it will. I guess it depends. She's just gone rogue, and so who knows? But
has she done anything for her constituents? For Arizona?
I would have to learn. I would have to look more into that in the 4 years that she's been there. But yeah, if you have thoughts, we'll take them. We're going to spend another segment on this, 844-967-2789. And we'll also I'll give you a little preview of what I saw last night and how happy it made me. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Quality Foods puts you first. No self-checkouts here. Get the groceries you want, bagged and loaded in your car if you'd like. That's quality service from real people you can expect. Delivery and pickup are available at West Grand. Visit QualityFoodsWisRapids.com. Or if you can't order online, just call West Grand and they'll take it. Don't forget the deli for delicious meats, cheese, salads, and complete hot and cold meals. Quality Foods, West Grand and Baker Drive, locally owned and putting you and the community first.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf?
Oh, a wolf.
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Aww. Owl.
Ooh,
ooh, ooh. Dolphin? What does the turkey say?
Whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover. Greensville, WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. We are going to do one more segment, and then Jim Santel is going to be here, and we're going to dive into the Harper v. Moore hearings that happened at the Supreme Court on Wednesday. I was holding off to talk about that topic until we had someone who... is a lawyer. As far as Jade and I are concerned, I think we could read things and then be like, what does that mean?
Exactly. Some other terminology is just, yeah. So he can cut our information into digestible pieces.
Exactly. And then later in the show at 12:30, we're going to talk to Matthew Rothschild from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign about more of the historical aspects of the Wisconsin Supreme Court and when this nonpartisan objective position became so, no one's even hiding it.
No.
Like, it's like, I was reading a thread from the Wisconsin Democrats on the importance of the race, and it's like, no one even pretends to think that this is nonpartisan anymore.
No,
which is,
it's about taking control of the ideology on the court.
Which is also so, it's so different because of the fact that, you know, it's one thing for these nonpartisan roles when it's mayors or school boards and stuff like that. Like, obviously people are not void of their own political ideology when they come to any position.
Sure.
But ultimately with judges, it's like you're supposed to be looking at the law. And so there is actually something to base beyond your own ideology of what, how you rule. And yet when you have lobbying firms and interested parties funding your races, that maybe influences how you rule.
Well, these lobbyists and corporations are looking for a return on their investment.
Yes, that is certainly true. So we're going to talk about that later. And then at the end of the show at 1 o'clock, we're talking to the hosts of the Wisconsin Drunken History Podcast.
I have some very special music picked for them.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
I do.
But we were just throwing out the big story of the day this morning. It'll probably move on quickly through the news cycle, but that Kyrsten Sinema has announced that she's not really switching parties. She's leaving the Democratic Party and deciding that she is now going to be a independent. Mm. And she still plans to caucus with the Democrats. So she's still giving the Democrats an edge on committee seats. And TBD if she is going to detach herself more than there are two other technically independent senators. Bernie Sanders from Vermont is independent, and Agnes King from Maine are also independent. And so I don't know how much this actually changes anything. I think, at least in my opinion, it just makes her look kind of like she needs attention. That's kind of my big takeaway of like, why else? Why not just keep voting the way that you were voting? Like, why make a whole announcement about it? Because I don't think it's going to save her for a re-election cycle.
Well, you make a good point, too, because certainly when she and Manchin were the two Democrats that they had to appease in order to get things done, and now with Warnock's election, she is less important and critical. And so maybe you're right. Maybe it is just an attention getter going, I'm still here.
Now you really have to work for my for me to get on board.
Yes.
Because I am technically now an independent.
Right. And I is she going to be a vote splitter? Between, you know, for Democratic voters and independent voters?
I don't know. I mean, and it'd be interesting. I know, obviously, because this is... as goes Wisconsin. I know less about the electorate in Arizona. Obviously, it is also a swing state. There's probably some people, I don't know, maybe there are some people who are celebrating this, but ultimately it feels like something that if you got elected into one party, shouldn't you have to serve your term in that party?
That would be a good rule.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
As long, and obviously, like, I think I've been pretty honest as far as my frustration with a two-party system and how it doesn't allow for the gray area of how a lot of people feel on all the different issues in front of us and that a great majority of people are not all conservative or all left in that when it comes to crime, healthcare, the environment, spending policy, foreign policy.
Like lots of
people,
things.
People can have varying different opinions that each party represents instead of these big SWAT, like sweeping, you're either this or you're that.
Right.
You have to vote either this way or that way. And so I get the sentiment as far as more, you know, trying to appeal to people who are more frustrated with, I think her quote was, the broken political system. But I also feel like, you know, if you get elected as something, shouldn't you have to at least stay in that party or kind of what you, I mean, like in, I mean, 6-year terms or it's a long time.
Yeah,
so
it
I
is.
Understand that things change, but shouldn't you have to at least be like, well, this was the pretenses you elected me under. So for now, I should probably continue to be that, play that role.
You know, there are numerous laws or rules, I think, that should affect members of Congress and yet don't. Like stocks and, you know, insider trading information and kind of stuff like that.
There's so many things to be frustrated about, but all we can do is talk about it. All you and I can do, Jane, is talk about it on the air, try to explain it and give our opinion. And that's more than a lot of people can do.
Absolutely.
So
we're fortunate.
We are not taking that for granted. All right. Well, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour. But if you have questions about the court case that was there was hearings for it in front of the Supreme Court this week, I guess really any of them, because now there's every day there's court hearings in front of the Supreme Court. But the one that we're going to definitely focus on for most of the next half hour is Harper v. Moore, the court case about independent state legislature theory and what that means. So if you have any questions for Jim Santel, 844-967-2789, he will be joining us right after the break. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hello, DoorWorks. This is Kathy.
May I speak to Doorman?
One moment, please.
Doorman here. How can I help you?
My garage door. It's like a yo-yo. It's going up and down and...
Ah, I get it, ma'am. Sounds like a job for Doorman. I'll be right there. There you go, ma'am. All fixed.
You're my hero, Doorman.
Need your door fixed? Most any door. Call DoorWorks. Doorman today. 424-5777, Wisconsin Rapids.
You can complete your home improvement projects, consolidate bills, or make large purchases and more with a home equity line of credit or HELOC loan from Key Savings Bank. You can put your home's equity to work for you today. At Key Savings Bank, there is no application fee, pre-approval in 48 hours, and you can apply online or with one simple call. Put your home's equity to work for you with Key Savings Bank, where you'll feel right at home. 811 East Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids, and in the town of Rome. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road.
Drive drunk.
Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov.
Wisconsin DOT.
Join Max Inc. Radio this New Year's Eve as we present live at thespaceship.tv. Max Inc. Radio will broadcast live from the spaceship.tv studios 6 p.m. to midnight, plus live performances from the civil engineers. Linda and the Zeros. Porky's Groove Machine.
Who's there, the Spice Girls? Muy caliente.
Live streaming video at thespaceship.tv and live on this civic media station. Let's party New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m. live from thespaceship.tv. Happy New Year's from Civic Media and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Mid-State Technical College in Wisconsin Rapids will return to indoor graduation ceremonies, hosting their mid-year commencement ceremony on Saturday, December 10th. Mid-State will highlight their Protective and Human Services program at the ceremony with the keynote address from Rick Anderson, Mid-State's 2022 Distinguished Alumnus and Associate Dean of Protective and Human Services. In-person attendance is reserved for ticket holders. The ceremony will be live-streamed on mstc.edu/graduation starting at 1:30 p.m. on Saturday. The Roadway Inn and Suites in Stevens Point has experienced a setback in their renovation plans due to flooding from burst pipes. City officials say a window was left open, which allowed the pipes to freeze. The hotel has experienced issues over the past few years and are working on fixing the problems identified. Even with this delay, the city is confident the hotel will be up and running again in 2023. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with a chance for snow. Daytime highs approaching 33. East winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 28. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Snow likely. Daytime highs approaching 34. About an inch of snow today through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 30.
So, on Wednesday, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments to test the so-called independent state legislature theory in the case Harper v. Moore. And I wanted to wait to talk about this until we had someone who actually understood more fully than Jane and I do, because we are not lawyers. So here to break down and talk through what this case is about and what happened on Wednesday during the hearings is Jim Santel. Welcome to the show.
Kristen, I'm so delighted to be with you. It has been a while since we've had a chance to chat, and I'm just delighted to be with you this morning to chat about this and other things as they come up.
So let me just give your credentials for why Jim is actually credentialed as far as being able to talk about this. He spent 30 years as a criminal prosecutor and civil litigator with the United States Department of Justice, including 6.5 of those as chief federal law enforcement officer for the Eastern District of Wisconsin. And he's also, as you heard, Jane's music choice.
Right.
He is also the host of Morning Cannolis
Network. Right.
Saturday mornings, 9 to 11.
Right. And we sit around, we talk about civics and other things related to government and law and rule of law in America. So great opportunity, as is this morning, to talk with you about the same topics.
Absolutely. All right. So we'll talk. We'll plug the show more at the end because you're here the whole half hour. So let's just dive into it as far as what is the background of this case?
Sure. So let's begin with the concept itself, which is the interstate. The legislative theory here itself. ISLT, the Independent State Legislature. It comes from the Constitution of the United States of America. That is that when James Madison and George Mason, other people, put all this together, they said that the times, the place, the conditions, the circumstances of voting will be established by the legislatures, by the state legislatures. If you think about it, that makes sense. When you go to vote these days, it's not that the federal government comes in to run our elections even recently. It's all your state people, right? It's your local clerks, all those kinds of people doing it. And that's the way we've done it for, yes, indeed, 240 years or so. And again, not without some disruption along the way. And the point has always been this, Kristen, as you have articulated this so well. If you've got concerns about those rules and regulations, if you're concerned about the timing, for example, drop boxes or early voting or other things like that, that we in Wisconsin have seen, where do you go to challenge those rules and regulations that are put together by the state legislature? The answer is the courts, right? You run into the courts and you say, judges, there's something going on here. I think it disenfranchises people. It prevents them from voting in a way they otherwise should. And the courts will look at that and say, okay, we'll take a look at the Voting Rights Act. We'll take a look at the Constitution. We'll take a look at your basic right to vote and determine whether or not that's right or wrong. Now, again, I keep calling it interstate. It is not that. It's the legislative theory itself. The independent state legislative theory says this, that because the Constitution speaks about legislatures, therefore it doesn't talk about courts. And that the founding fathers must have meant, therefore, that only the legislature, not even governors and certainly not courts, have responsibility or authority in this area to decide these matters. It is, to call it fringe, to call it obscure, to call it out there, is probably being kind. I've talked about it as being sort of those folks who believe that JFK is still alive or that the moon is hollow. It's that kind of a thing in the legal arena. It has come up from time to time. It's been mentioned from time to time, but always discarded, including by the Supreme Court. And so out of North Carolina, this has now percolated up, and we can talk more about the basis for that. Yeah.
This is coming from North Carolina, which is arguably as gerrymandered
absolutely.
As Wisconsin,
absolutely.
You know, however you want to measure that.
Right.
But this was largely because of their redistricting maps, right?
Precisely, right. So what happens is the North Carolina legislature draws lines just like every other state did. And as a result of that, the North Carolina Supreme Court looks at this and says, you have drawn these lines in a way that disenfranchises people of color. Same thing goes on in Alabama, other places, also cases before the Supreme Court. And so the North Carolina Supreme Court says, go back, legislature, and do better. Do this again. Go back and correct your errors here. And the legislature says, no. On two grounds. One is we didn't inappropriately gerrymander. We have enfranchised everyone, and your allegation, your core allegation is wrong, which again, courts have decided. People take those positions. But secondarily, and this is why it gets to the Supreme Court, and this is why this matter is so important to talk about, what the legislature then says is under this independent state legislature theory that once again says that courts have no role in this, you, North Carolina Supreme Court, shouldn't be deciding this this at all. You've got no jurisdiction. You've got no power. And only we are the ones who make these decisions, not only about the times, places, the circumstances of voting, but about the substance of what we've done. And so the courts are out of business, if you will, when it comes, once again, to federal elections, at least to this point, when it comes to identifying and electing senators and representatives. And again, that sets on its head well over two centuries of law. We've always done it that way. And the concern, as you and I were chatting before, is just that, number one, that the Supreme Court is even looking at this fringe, obscure, out there theory at all. But apparently that we do have, as we determined a little bit on Wednesday and certainly before that, we've got at least four justices who say, yes, this makes some sense. And that should be a source of great concern for all of us. I know it's for you and Jane as well.
And so I think this is kind of the origin of, we just covered what the origin of the case is.
Right.
But what are, prior to Wednesday,
right,
what was the fee? Because I know you've talked about this a lot in
right,
our show.
Right.
What were the potential, and still are the potential
right,
outcomes of how the Supreme Court could hear this case and what they could rule? And when people, there's headlines saying this will destroy democracy.
Mm-hmm.
What does that kind of dystopian
sure,
ruling
it,
look
right,
like?
Right, and it could be dystopian, as you can well imagine, a theory like this, which is fringe, and it is pretty much out there. You've got different variations on it, and people articulate it in different ways. At its most extreme, it does have the opportunity, does have the chance of bringing to an end all that we've thought about in terms of voting, which is the core of our republic, right? And so one of the consequences, depending again upon how broadly you apply it, is this. We talked about this already. When it comes to disagreements about the processes, and here we've had issues about ID, voter ID, right, a few years back, and even more recently about ballot boxes and about early voting, the timing, all that. That, if it goes back to the legislature, the courts are not involved. The very people who make the rules are the ones who are going to re-decide the rules. Probably no real due process at all on that. So that's hugely problematic in terms of process. Let's talk about the ones that are even beyond that. Let us suppose, for example, that when it comes to federal elections, again, a senator, a representative in one of the districts in Wisconsin says, I was the winner when, in fact, I wasn't the winner, just by the pure calculation. Normally, what would happen is, what would you do? What did Donald Trump do 60 different times in the past year or so? He went into court, right?
Yeah.
And yes, 60 courts said, no, Mr. Trump, the numbers don't support your notion. This doctrine would say that you would not have the capacity to, you would not go into court to challenge that. You would not have a dispute, if we will, between the winner and the loser, according to math. Instead, it goes to the legislature and they would vote on who won. And what does that mean, even as you're shaking your head, as everyone does, furrowing the brow, those kinds of things, Kristen? What that means is, in perpetuity, if someone is in power, a party is in power, here in Wisconsin, it's the Republicans, other states, it's the Democrats, equally concerned out there, what you could do in perpetuity is continue to simply override the voting results, override the results of the elected population out there and say, you know what, we think, yeah, maybe there was some fraud, and maybe, in fact, Jim did win, and Kristen, who has the numbers, maybe there was some fraud, and really, really Jim won, not Kristen, and as a result of that, we're going to put Jim in the role, in the Senate position, and not Kristen, and basically erasing your vote.
And that would be legal.
And that would be legal under this theory, according to the Constitution, as interpreted by the United States Supreme Court. And what it means, of course, is you think about that. Why would I vote then, right? The inhibiting, the deterring factor. Why would I serve as a poll worker to go through that entire exercise if I know that those folks in the legislature, whatever state it is, are going to look at this anyway and say, you know what? Not so much. We don't like the winner. We're going to choose somebody else. And why would I go to vote in the end? And that's the real destruction that you're talking about, Kristen, when it comes to the demise of democracy. There's another aspect of it, even with respect to the Electoral College, too, of course. We know that, again, electoral college votes are assigned based upon the popular vote in the state. And so that, again, determined if there's a contest by courts. Here, if you've got a legislature that decides, maybe candidate X won, but we think there was fraud, so candidate Y probably won, and we just choose to award the electoral votes in our state to candidate Y, you can do that. And basically, then you change. Then you change as a result of this, the results of the presidential election through the Electoral College based upon the decisions of those legislators about who won. It is stunning. It is just absolutely cataclysmic. And in the end, it changes not only how we elect people, but frankly, who we elect. And that's the concern about this scary, horrific theory out there, the independent state legislature theory, ISLT.
So, to bring it back and not scare everybody as
right,
much,
right,
because
right.
that was a prediction of what could happen.
Right.
Now, on the hearings, I was happening on Wednesday, but everything I saw afterwards is that how the oral argument went is making people believe that maybe this is not as dire as far as they don't necessarily have the numbers to totally upend everything.
Right, exactly. And you hit it right on the head, which is, of course, you need four justices to take a case on. And so that in itself, as we said already, is a little concerning that they're spending their time saying, let's pluck up this fringe theory. Let's hear this case at all. They have the choice. They do not have to hear everything. They don't hear everything. They could have done that, but they didn't. And so we've got four justices, and we know who they are, who probably indeed are in favor of doing this. And their names are Clarence Thomas and Joseph Alito and Neil Gorsuch and maybe Brett Kavanaugh also. Maybe. So you've got four of them who are out there. And so that means, okay, you need another vote in some direction. We know at the far end, you also have Sonia Sotomayor and you've got Ketanji Brown Jackson. You've got Elena Kagan, who are almost certainly on the so-called liberal side. So three in the other direction. And it appears that also the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, John Roberts, who normally is a conservative, was expressing some significant concerns about this. He wrote back in 2018, 2019, he said, you know, state courts do have roles to play at a time when the Supreme Court said that federal courts will not look at political gerrymandering. He said, yeah, but state courts can still handle that. So arguably, you've got four and four. You've got the three so-called liberals joined by the Chief Justice. And again, not with great particularity, can you ensure how people vote? But again, Kavanaugh and maybe expressing some concern, but he has normally signed on to this as well, historically. And so you've got 4-4. And so the question is, who is that? Who's that fifth vote in one direction or another? And it struck me, and I think it struck many other people, may have different assessments of what they're hearing, that her name is Amy Coney Barrett. It's Amy Coney Barrett, appointed by Donald Trump, along with at least two others. And she, along the way, was expressing great, great concern about this and suggesting once again, based upon her questions, that maybe this case shouldn't be here, and that in its extreme forms, and maybe even in its lesser forms, this is not something the Supreme Court should do. And that's what gives us some solace. That helps us sleep tonight, maybe in for the next 6 months or so.
Yes.
Yes.
Because
right?
I mean, that is the thing. That is the thing. We hear, we dive into these, and then you're like, well, I guess we'll find out next summer.
Right, exactly.
So, Jim Santel will still be here. If you have questions for him, because obviously this is confusing and dense, but it is very important, 844-967-2789. We are going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean, and there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council. Let it slip, it comfort, check.
Talk to doctor now and share. Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor. Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Visit ManagerBP.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little. A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. A 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Jim Santel, who is a criminal prosecutor and civil litigator with the United States Department of Justice, and also the host of Morning Cannolis. So if you want to hear more about what we're talking about today, I'm sure you're going to be talking about it on Saturday, tomorrow.
Join the 9 people listen in on Saturday morning, and we always love to have your phone calls there as well. So great.
And so what we are talking about is kind of breaking down what happened on Wednesday for the oral arguments with Harper v. Moore, the case about the independent state legislature theory.
Right.
And from what I know, this is wildly unpopular.
It is wildly unpopular, not only among people of reason, of all parties, too. And I think that's your point earlier on, right? Republicans and Democrats, the Green Party, independents, everybody out there should be very concerned about this. And again, the rational, if you will, the normal people who are looking at this are all across the board. Political people on all sides, conservative and liberal commentators, in the academic world as well, the legal world. So many articles out there. Just type in the theory and you will see all kinds of things being written about this historically. 95% of them, maybe 90% of them say, no, this
please
can't be
this.
Fun to talk about, fun to engage in, maybe some discussion, but this should not be something that we seriously embrace. And more importantly, it came up in the oral argument. Also, Neil Katyal, who was representing one of the three lawyers there, also talked about the history and said, this is not looking to history what our founding fathers intended by that. And frankly, even this notion that it's just the legislature. They were commenting about the legislature in a more broad sense. The people who make the laws, and that includes a governor usually, right? And other people involved in that. And so this notion that somehow it's this very discrete body, that wasn't what they were thinking at all. And they would be horrified. The people who created Article 3 in the Constitution, all about judges, they would be horrified to think that somehow courts should not be involved in deciding these kinds of things. That, too, as what they wrote in the Federalist Papers, other things along the way, there's no historical predicate for this. And again, everybody who has really looked at this with some sense of balance, maybe, and that's a critical thing about at least 4 members of our Supreme Court, has rejected it and said, no, it can't be right.
So, Jim, whose wish list is this on? Is this
right?
Because I keep thinking of Leonard Leo, who's the Federalist Society, but his whole thing is appointing judges that are handpicked by the Federalist Society, and doing this kind of knocks out his toys.
Right, it certainly does. And that's why it's also very interesting, right, for that very reason. To the extent that you feel that you want to go to the courts and fill the courts with people who are of your same mind, eliminating them from this process seems to be counterintuitive. And so where it comes from, Jane, is just this. You've talked on this program and other settings, frankly, about those folks who were advocating for the overthrow of the 2020 election, right? And those folks who put together memorandums, for example, that described how if we go to state legislatures, we will have an opportunity there for them. Petition them. Let's go back to Georgia. Tell the Georgia legislature that it needs to rethink the electoral votes coming out of the state of Georgia. That kind of a fellow named John Eastman, whose name I know you know well, authored this memorandum that had this multi-purpose focus to it. That was one of them. Let's go to the legislatures and have them redo what the popular vote would otherwise indicate and send them then to Mike Pence on January 6th. So this is where it really comes from. It's an offshoot of that. It plainly has other aspects to it. It has been out there and it's been percolating up a little bit, but really seized upon by many people. I will tell you as well that Ginny Thomas, the spouse of one of those people who's going to decide this case, Clarence Thomas, was also advocating for it. And she was one of those people who said, Jane and Kristen, that this is something the Supreme Court should not only think about, but should give very, very serious thought to and embrace as a way of returning, as they say, the responsibility for this back to the people's houses, which are the legislatures. That, once again, Ms. Thomas, with due respect, is just ridiculous and not founded on any normal legal theory, not history otherwise. But it comes out of the same thing that still animates us, which is the 2020 challenge and that election. We're back there once again.
Ginny Thomas is not a lawyer, right?
She is not. I don't believe.
Activist,
right? I think
that's
right.
She randomly go to law school, right, so she's really right. Just come out of... We should do this because of all the experience I have
exactly,
of knowing about
right,
the law.
Right, right. And again, I will tell you candidly, I often tell people you don't have to go to law school to understand these things at all, but you do have to have some sense of reason and rationality. Yeah. And I think Ms. Thomas and others out there, including people who are advocating on behalf of the North Carolina legislature, have got this all wrong. And again, a lot of the commentary from Wednesday was just that. People talk about them being embarrassed by questions from both the left and the right. Again, Amy Coney Barrett, again, John Roberts, likewise, indicating that this is not something that is normal. Mm-hmm. And even though it's out there, this needs to be put to bed. And we hope that come June, as we've said, that this does get put to bed completely. One of the other concerns, Kristen and Jane, still out there is, you know, there are variations on this, too. You could go whole hog. You could do something less than that. And the concern is still, even with Amy Coney Barrett being very skeptical about this, what if John Roberts, who tries to be the conciliator, right, in all these things, even in the Dobbs case, he was trying to find this middle ground, which there plainly was not in the end. He may be trying to look for some way of saying, okay, we can adopt some portion of this. Maybe courts have some role, but not complete. Maybe the federal courts should be involved in this in some way. And that, too, is going to be problematic because one of the other concerns about this is you could very well get different rules, get this for federal elections and state elections. And, you know, in Wisconsin here, as in other states, we always vote. You vote for school board. You vote for a county board of supervisors. You vote for your state senators and your federal representatives all on one ballot. Could you imagine if we had different kinds of rules and regulations for those? The mess that this would cause. The League of Women Voters wrote this wonderful brief, this amicus brief, saying just that. Putting aside the crazy, which is a word that they would not use, I would. They said, what do you do with all these different votes then that comes in, all these different processes, that's also a part of this. And again, if John Roberts, bless him for trying to find some middle ground, hopefully what he does is he solidifies his view, he brings Amy Coney Barrett, maybe Brett Kavanaugh, and we get somewhere at least a 5-4 decision shutting this down completely. I'm hopeful still that will happen and there won't be some sort of middle gray area where they say, yeah, we're just going to change this a bit, because the other concern is that then it opens the door to the next case, right?
Yep.
This is about federal elections. What about state elections then? If it's got makes some sense there and opens up all kinds of other possibilities, as we well know, when Supreme Courts say things, people seize on the language and they say, well, it was good here and maybe it should be good over here. And that's the concern down the road as well.
All right. Well, this flew by, so we're going to have you back because we didn't get to talk about the other hearings that are happening because there's a lot. There's a full docket.
It is a full docket.
Somewhat scary, terrifying cases that the Supreme Court is hearing. So we'll have to have you back to explain it to us.
I would be delighted to. Anytime,
Jim Santel,
Kristen.
Thank you so much for being here.
I'm thrilled to be here, and we'll talk with you again and your listeners and Jane very, very soon.
Absolutely. You can hear him tomorrow at 9 a.m. right here on the Civic Media Network for Morning Cannolis. He is Jim Santel. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and we'll be right back.
He's probably cooler than me.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together, we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org
today. WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE Broadcasting at 97.5 FM.